I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Halloween. All things political coming up this hour, and we have a lot to talk about. What an election this is. We, of course, will be beginning the hour, and we'll probably spend a good chunk of the hour talking about the disclosure by the FBI late Friday that it had discovered potential new evidence in its inquiry into Hillary Clinton's handling of her personal email while she was Secretary of State. And there has been a whole lot of response to this. Many Democrats are condemning James Comey, director of the FBI, for disclosing this information 11 days before the election. Some are saying that he did it for political reasons. As you heard during the news, a press briefing by Press Secretary Josh Earnest within the last hour, Josh saying the president doesn't believe that Comey is trying to influence the election and said that he was in a tough spot. And we don't really know what's in the emails. I guess that the FBI, having been able to get their search warrant yesterday, is pouring through emails right now. Some are saying that, well, maybe in a couple days we'll have more information about this. But what a thing to put right in the midst of an election and very close to the time that we are going to vote. Donald Trump, of course, has been using this during many of his stump speeches, saying that this is worse than Watergate. And Hillary Clinton's campaign has been asking for the FBI to release all the information that it has. American people have the right to know everything, they are saying. So we'll hear response from Paul Ryan and from Josh Earnest and from Tim Kaine during the course of this hour. And we have a lot of other things to talk about as well. The Washington Post has done a major investigation of Donald Trump and his money, or lack thereof, that he's given to charities. We'll ask if we need a presence, maybe a federal presence, at polling locations all over the country, considering what's been said about the election. And how difficult an election this is. We, this hour, are going to be joined by Bob Franken. It's been a while since he's been with us. He's, let me say this first, a graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Started his career in Marshfield, Wisconsin, at a radio station there. He has had a 20-plus year career at CNN, where he was the Capitol Hill correspondent. He has covered both Iraq wars, covered combat in both wars, the White House during the President George W. Bush administration, the impeachment proceedings of President Bill Clinton, the Supreme Court and Congress, the Guantanamo Bay prison camp. He is the author of the syndicated column Frankincense and a guest on MSNBC. And we'll be welcoming phone calls. I think we'll have many of them during the course of the hour. The phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. I would imagine we'll have plenty of phone calls this hour. Hello, Bob. Thanks for being with us again.
Whatever are we going to talk about, Kathleen?
I know there isn't very much, is there?
No, we're going to have to really stretch things.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. Well, this is pretty remarkable, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, to have all of this take place 11 days before an election, and information about what may be in the emails or why it was even decided to go through all of these emails or how these emails got in Anthony Weiner's computer. We just don't know.
Well, you know, what's so funny is that this election, for about the last 2 years, about every day we're talking about some development that is, quote, remarkable.
Yes.
But this one may top it, simply because this awful election that many people are hoping is soon over, which of course it will be, this is the October surprise and then some that everybody was anticipating, but mm-hmm. We didn't expect that it was going to come from the director of the FBI.
Do you have any idea, and there was an interesting piece in Newsweek this morning, which had an information that Comey had given to people in the Bureau, which was a little bit more forthcoming than what was given to Congress, which I found pretty interesting. Maybe if he had just given us that or given us a little more information in the whole letter that he gave to Congress, we'd be in better shape, although I don't know about that. Why was it so curt and cryptic?
The letter to Congress?
Yes.
You know, a good question. I mean, but both the memo that he circulated within the FBI and the letter that he sent to Congress basically come down to there's something here, but we don't know really what it is.
Right.
And that is what has caused so many people to say, well, then why in heaven's name are you doing this 11 days before the election, which it was at that time, when there is a tradition, it's almost an unspoken policy, unwritten policy, that federal attorneys are not supposed to, and federal officials are not supposed to take action that could influence the election. As a matter of fact, the Senate Minority Leader, Harry Reid, who, of course, is known for his hyperbole, but some lawyers think he has a point, say that this might be a violation of the law, what James Comey did, that it might be a violation of the Hatch Act, which prohibits federal officials, federal employees, from acting on behalf of political campaigns.
Mm-hmm. Do you think so?
I would suspect that if somebody were to pursue that, they'd have to show some sort of intent, and there are many, very few accusations that Comey is actually doing this intentionally to sway the election. He may be doing it naively, he may be doing it because he's headstrong or protecting his reputation, but I don't think in my non-lawyer mind that that would rise to the order of criminal intent.
Mm-hmm. E.J. Dionne had an interesting piece yesterday or the day before, they're all blending together here in this nonstop news, that Comey is facing problems with very conservative FBI agents who wanted him to go much farther in his report on Hillary Clinton and perhaps even have her indicted when he gave the news about her being extremely careless, but nothing to indict her on. There were no criminal charges. A lot of people in the Bureau thinking that was not the right decision and pressing him to take further action. Do you think there's a great deal of disagreement and he's trying to respond to some of those conservative FBI members? Or
Well, one would say that if that is the case, that he is really trying to appease, to use the word that E.J. Dionne did, if he's trying to appease his agents, then he's kind of a weak leader. In fact, he would be a really weak leader. It is well known that there are all kinds of FBI agents and prosecutors in the Justice Department who are hard charging. They are people who believe that every case should be followed to its logical conclusion. They look at terms and things in terms of black and white. That is certainly true, has been argued a lot of times in the public corruption unit. And certainly FBI agents have been that way, particularly those who operate in New York. There seems to be a little bit of a mindset there, which is to go after the bad guys and forget subtlety.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear from what Josh Earnest, I thought this was interesting, in a White House press conference, this gives us an indication of what the president thinks about it. Let's listen to a little bit of what he said and get your reaction, Bob.
The president doesn't believe that Director Comey is intentionally trying to influence the outcome of an election. The president doesn't believe that he's secretly strategizing to benefit one candidate or one political party. He's in a tough spot, and he's the one who will be in a position to defend his actions in the face of significant criticism from a variety of legal experts, including individuals who served in senior Department of Justice positions in administrations that were led by presidents in both parties.
Do you think, Bob, he's going to defend his actions in the next couple days?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he does that. Let's suppose that, in fact, the FBI is now able to, using all the technology that they have at their disposal, is now able to go through that, 660,000 emails and come up with some sort of understanding of whether there is anything classified in there, whether there was anything that they hadn't covered in the previous investigation and all that kind of thing. And so it is possible, maybe just a day or two before the election, that he has some sort of announcement. However, he may be skittish about doing that because the announcement could have a huge impact on how the voters react.
Right. So in the meantime, who's filling in the blanks? But everybody who's Donald Trump particularly, who's saying, well, this must indicate that, you know, these horrible wrong deeds were done. Lock her up is the chant from people at his rallies right now. And the Clinton camp wondering, what the heck are we going to do with this? Release the information so that we know where to go. But he's allowing politicians to fill in the blank, right?
Well, yes, he is. And, of course, Donald Trump is such a neutral observer and somebody who is given to understatement. Of course, I'm being sarcastic.
Of course you are.
Yeah, but he is trying to exploit this for all it's worth, and I would have to say that I can't blame him as a politician. But it leaves James Comey in the position if, in fact, he's an honorable man. And nobody's charging that he was doing
right.
anything dishonorable. But if he's an honorable man, then he has to decide what can he do. He's kind of painted himself into a corner.
Well, and everybody says he's an honorable man. Do you have any reason to believe he's not?
I don't personally have any reason. And quite frankly, there are so few people who are listed as honorable in this town by everybody that one has to believe it's true. Of course, the famous story about him is that when he was, by the way, he's considered a Republican, and when he was a member of the Bush administration high up in the Justice Department, he was the acting attorney general while John Ashcroft was in the hospital, and that was when some figures in the Bush administration were trying to do what amounted to spying on the various people in the United States, and it required attorney general authorization. He determined not to do that, but then they tried to do an end run by going to a groggy John Ashcroft who was in the hospital, and he came and decided and made quite the stand against that and sent them scurrying away. So, you know, that's part of the Jim Comey legend. And now he's got an added facet to it.
Mm-hmm. And President Obama must have thought highly of him. He did appoint him.
Well, he did. I mean, the effort was to try and replace Robert Mueller, who had been the FBI director before and had been very successful. And James Comey was able to be somebody who could get past Congress and because of his reputation.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear how Donald Trump has been handling this. He, of course, is mentioning this all over the place, and I want your response to it. This is one of his rallies. There have been many of them over the last couple days, but the theme is pretty much the same everywhere he goes. Donald Trump.
And they are reopening the case into her criminal and illegal conduct that threatens the security of the United States of America. Hillary Clinton's corruption is on a scale we have never seen before. We must not let her take her criminal scheme into the Oval Office. I have great respect for the fact that the FBI and the Department of Justice are now willing to have the courage to right the horrible mistake that they made.
He has gone on to call this worse than Watergate, which is somewhat hard to imagine. Watergate was pretty bad, Bob.
And Carl Bernstein sent out a Twitter message saying, that's ridiculous. No, it's not. Again, Donald Trump is trying to milk this for all it's worth. And, of course, he's somebody who engages in hyperbole constantly. Saying that this is the worst corruption ever in American politics is quite a stretch, considering, well, you know, the history goes as far back almost as the Republic. But, again, he's trying to take advantage of this. He had been reeling because of his own October surprise, which was the Billy Bush tapes, and now he's, in effect, getting revenge.
Yeah, he sure is. Today, evidently, he was telling supporters in Colorado not to trust mail-in ballots and votes. If people feel they're suspicious of their vote not being counted, you should go and obtain a new ballot. And then he says, do you think those mail-in ballots are properly counted? Go to a nearby voting center and check to see if your first ballot has been counted.
Well, you know, that gets to the whole issue, and I know you want to talk about this, of the dangers that we might face on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one who is calling on people to confront the election polling places. He's the one who's now talking about, in effect, gumming up the works by doing that kind of thing. And, of course, it could cause real problems on Election Day. Of course, by Election Day, we might have a pretty clear idea of how it's going to be going because of all the early voting.
Mm-hmm. New York Times had an editorial this morning saying the danger is exacerbated now that the Justice Department is sending only a fraction of the 32,000 federal election observers It deployed around the country in 2012 to help deter intimidation tactics.
Well, as a matter of fact, there are any number of people who are very worried that there could be intimidation tactics. What could also happen is if you have some people who go into some of the urban areas that are, for the most part, populated by people of color, and you have people coming from, from the suburbs or whatever to go and engage in these intimidation tactics, that they might be met by intimidation tactics of their own. It could become a police matter.
Mm. Do you really think people from the suburbs are going to go to the central cities to check out the voting? I mean, really?
Well, not if they value their lives, I would think, because I think that if they did that, I think that they would be met by very hostile force.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what an election this is. Back to Hillary Clinton and her email. It is amazing that she could have kept all of this from happening if she just not used a private server. What does it say about her that she did that?
Well, as somebody who's covered her a long time, what it says about her is that she's always been very secretive. And quite frankly, I've believed for a long time that she doesn't really realize what it means to be such a highly placed public official. She is somebody who demands her privacy, demands too much privacy, as a matter of fact. And in the case of the private server when she was Secretary of State, there's a belief that what she was really trying to do is to avoid all the freedom of information requests that would happen with an official account. And it's the kind of thing that shows, as it has many times before, that she's too clever by half, and she keeps getting into trouble, creating a situation where we have the circumstances happening today.
Mm-hmm. And how do you imagine, I can't figure out this piece of the puzzle, how did all these emails get on, of all people, Anthony Weiner's computer?
I mean, how bizarre is that?
It really is bizarre, I know.
I mean, you know, this is a family program, so I'm going to have to watch
you.
What I say. But, I mean, of course, the fact that Huma Abedin is married to Anthony Weiner, strange now, of course, is quite the problem. How did it get onto his computer? She claims that she has no idea, you know, how 660,000 emails got on his computer. What seems to have happened, though, is that she would take work home with her, so to speak, and perhaps there's some sort of reasonable explanation about how it got onto the home's computer. Of course, you cannot do that with classified information. It is a crime to bring stuff home with you that's classified.
Mm-hmm. Well, it had something to do with printing out information, too. And
Because she's been, in effect, Hillary Clinton's assistant for a long time.
Right.
And Hillary Clinton insisted on reading printed emails as opposed to going on a computer and looking at them that way. So that was one of the big jobs that Huma Abedin was in charge of, was printing out those things. So it's entirely plausible that she would, in fact, take all the emails and take them home with her, which may or may not be problematic from a legal point of view.
Yeah. And what would happen with all the printed things? Are they all gone?
That's a good question.
We don't know.
And that I don't have a good answer.
Yeah. All of this is keeping, there is, of course, there are a lot of stories, continuing stories about Donald Trump. One of them certainly in the Washington Post yesterday about his charitable giving, which appears to be a whole lot less than he said, and kind of questionable, too, where some of the money going to his foundation, where that money was used. There's a lot there.
Oh, there's a lot there. And Dave Fahrenthold, a Washington Post reporter, who has been on top of all this, has given the Trump campaign fits, because what it seems to indicate is that Donald Trump was somebody who misused his foundations. He also made promises that he didn't keep with money that people would contribute. He soothed his ego with some of the purchases from the foundation, on and on ad nauseum. We've been seeing this story for the longest time. And it's just one of the stories about this. One other story that the Democrats are talking about now is, okay, if the FBI wants to make sure that we know anything and everything, no matter how little it is, about the Hillary Clinton emails, they have to come clean on their investigation, if there is one, into Donald Trump's Russian connection.
Mm-hmm.
There's always been that charge running around. I don't know if, in fact, the FBI is investigating that, but the Democrats are certainly trying to make the point that if they are, they have to come clean about that also.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if they are, they would have to have said Comey should have come before the press and said we're investigating Donald Trump on this. Maybe that's
right,
what he'll
right.
do this week, right?
Well, but the thing about it is that's not how the FBI usually operates.
Right.
They're really hush-hush. And in this particular case, for reasons that I don't fully understand, James Comey has decided that the FBI, in this particular case, his agency, would in fact go public much more than it normally would.
We're going to welcome phone calls, Bob. Bob Franken is our guest for All Things Political today. We'll, of course, look at what effect this is having on voting. The race is much tighter than it was when last we spoke on All Things Political. 22 million people, though, have voted by now. That was from this morning, those statistics, so who knows how many by now. Many states, the number is lower than the same point in 2012. Florida, but in Florida, Colorado, and Nevada, close to a quarter have already voted. What will all of this information, I don't know if we know this or not, but at this point, you know, 8 days out, we can speculate. What does all of this email conversation have to do with down ballot tickets? All of those races, do they become closer as a result of all of this email discussion? Our phone number is 800-486-8655. And let's talk to you, the people who are voting. What do you think about all of this? 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Speaker Paul Ryan issued a statement. We thought it was on tape, but it's not. So let me read you what he said following the FBI looking again at former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's emails. Yet again, Paul Ryan said, Hillary Clinton has nobody but herself to blame. She was entrusted with some of our nation's most important secrets, and she betrayed that trust by carelessly mishandling highly classified information. This decision, Ryan says, long overdue, is the result of her reckless use of a private email server and her refusal to be forthcoming with federal investigators. I renew my call for the Director of National Intelligence to suspend all classified briefings for Secretary Clinton until this matter is fully resolved. We'll ask Bob what he thinks about that. Before we go to phone calls, let's also hear from Vice Presidential nominee Tim Kaine and what he has said about all of this. Then we'll go to you in just a moment. 800-486-8655 is the number.
When I talked about this Friday, it's just extremely puzzling. Why would you break these two protocols? Why would you release information that is so incomplete when you haven't even seen the material yourself 11 days before an election? Why would you talk about an ongoing investigation? I just have no way of understanding these actions. They're completely unprecedented, and that's why I think he owes the American public more information.
But in the past, you've had great praise from Director Comey. You called him a wonderful and tough career public servant. Do you still believe that?
What makes this so hard to understand, George. It really does. I worked with Jim Comey when he was in the Eastern District of Virginia, U.S. Attorney's Office, and I was mayor here. That's what makes this so completely puzzling. They did a very thorough investigation of this matter, and they weren't releasing, you know, tentative conclusions along the way. They waited till they got to the end of it, and then he gave a very unequivocal finding. And so why he would release this sort of tentative letter and then have to back up on it within 24 hours when he hadn't even seen the emails himself, I just cannot understand.
We go to phone calls now for Bob Franken, who is our guest this hour for All Things Political. He has worked with CNN for many years, covering combat in both Iraq wars, the White House during the years of the George W. Bush administration, the impeachment proceedings of Bill Clinton, the Supreme Court, Congress, and he is now a commentator on MSNBC, an author of the syndicated column Frankincense, and we should say he's a proud, I assume he's a proud graduate. We know he's a graduate. We assume he's a proud graduate of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Our phone number, let's go to you, 800-486-8655. We only have one more All Things Political before we vote. Where are you right now? How does all of this news about the emails affect your vote? Have you done early voting? Now's the time for you to call in, 800-486-8655. Marty in Douglas County, our first caller. Hi, Marty.
Yeah, hi. Where am I? I'm exhausted. I am just exhausted.
I know.
Oh, my God. I do have a question about WikiLeaks, but I heard this story on the news this week, and I only heard it once, but a woman in Iowa who was caught voting twice.
Right.
And she was voting for Trump. And she voted the second time because she was afraid her first vote was going to be changed to Hillary Clinton. And my reaction when I heard that was, that is so sad. It's so sad. Has it really come to this where people really believe that that is something that's going to possibly happen? That just was so awful. Here's my WikiLeaks question. Why are they picking on Clinton all the time? Why aren't they revealing anything from the Trump campaign? Am I being, like, really naive? Well, probably, but any thoughts about that?
Well, are you waiting for my response?
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think that things have gotten so outlandish that we're all probably a little naive these days. I mean, I think that almost every day at some point I say, what? This couldn't be. the WikiLeaks question is an interesting one. The speculation is that the Russians, who are now the ones who are accused of engineering all this, that the Russians, for whatever reason, would like to have Donald Trump be elected president, or at least they want to just mess things up a little bit. In a recent column, I called Donald Trump the Moscowian candidate, which is kind of an obscure pun having to do with the Manchurian candidate. But the fact is that many, many people, particularly the Democrats, say that Putin has much in common with his, what I've called, comrade, Donald Trump, and is therefore trying to swing the election his way by influencing the WikiLeaks stuff. As for your question about the woman who voted twice because she thought, in effect, that the vote would be stolen if she didn't vote twice, has it come to that? Sadly, it has come to that. We have become quite paranoid, and certainly Trump, Donald Trump, has been the one who's been inciting that.
Right. Thank you very much for your call, Marty. And you remind us in one of your recent columns, and you wonder, no matter who's elected, how in the world we are going to have any kind of governance that all of us will agree is good and moving the country in the right direction. You write, we exist in separate antagonistic enclaves, worse than the red state, blue state boundary lines where the culture rigidity rules politics. It's poisoned personal relationships. Half of Clinton backers, 47%, said they had no close friends who support Donald Trump. A third of Trump supporters saying that none of their besties, as you say, were in favor of Hillary Clinton. We have people talking about the impeachment of Hillary Clinton before she's even elected president. You know there will be hearings going on, well, probably as soon as, if she is elected, as soon as she is elected. You just throw up your hands and say, oh my gosh, the way forward doesn't look very good, Bob.
Well, you know, it's really interesting about that. I'm hearing from so many people, you know, I can't wait till this is over and we can get on with running the country and all that type of thing. But the point of the column was that we no longer are United States. We are really a country that is basically defined by its antagonisms now. And when people say, why, I can't wait till the election is over, till we can get back to the routine, it's just going to be the beginning. I think that well is so poisoned that it's going to be impossible for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump to govern effectively.
Mm-hmm. Don in West Salem. Hi, Don.
Yes, good day to you.
Hi, Don.
I guess some of my main griefs are like the hearings that they had. They had, what, three on Hillary? up to now, and now they're probably going to have another one. I guess my opinion is the first hearing they have for something like this or against somebody or whatever it is, that the taxpayers will pay for.
The hearings on what? On what we're talking about? On the emails? You think there'll be a hearing on that?
Well, yeah, if they have that or whatever comes to happen. It's all politics. I mean...
Okay. Have we had too many hearings on all of this, Bob?
We're going to have. The Republicans have made it clear that if Hillary Clinton is elected, they're going to aggressively pursue congressional oversight, as they call it. What the Democrats call it is a total waste of money, like our caller. But yes, I think we're going to see that. As a matter of fact, the chairman is already saying that he's going to aggressively pursue the email question even after the election is over.
Mm-hmm. Was there, you mentioned if we saw government, if we saw Trump's tax records. I know David K. Johnson has done some work on Trump's being in debt to the Russian mafia, and he's a pretty darn good reporter. Somebody wrote over the weekend, if the government subpoenaed Trump's tax records because they thought there might be evidence that he's in debt to the Russian mafia and so he's in Putin's pocket, because he does have this weird relationship with Putin. Investigations leaked to the press without investigators knowing anything or even alleging anything would be bizarre. Does the government have the power to subpoena Donald Trump's tax records?
You know, I mean, first of all, the government has Donald Trump's tax records.
Yes, they do, don't they?
Yeah, and I would think that there is a mechanism for making them available to an investigation, if there was one. And, of course, the speculation, particularly that inspired with the Democrats, is that there is an FBI investigation. How they know that, I don't know. But if there is, they're saying, as we talked about earlier, that the FBI now has a responsibility to release what it knows about that also.
Yeah. Thanks, Don. Let's go to Katie in Janesville. Hi, Katie.
Hi. I know you had asked the question earlier as to if we've made up our minds. Personally, I will be writing in Evan McMullen simply because I really can't vote for either of the other two. You know, with Hillary, with everything that's going on, if she gets in and then they actually find anything, how does that sit where a sitting president is actually being criminally investigated? And with Trump, I just can't go that route either. So I'll be writing in Evan McMullen.
Mm-hmm. He's getting a lot of attention, Evan. I bet he never thought he'd be on TV this much, Bob.
Well, you know, I think right now just about anybody who is not Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, if he's at all plausible, he's going to get some attention, because I think a lot of people share the disgust with both candidates. And by the way, I am an advocate for not voting as a way to vote no, usually, because I think that is how you register a protest against a system that provides only undesirable candidates. However, in this particular case, if you vote for a write-in or if you don't vote, you're really voting for the opportunity for one candidate or the other, who you might hate to be president, to get in, because you're not registering a vote. Now, of course, the vote, any individual voting has just a minuscule effect on the election. But the fact of the matter is, in this particular case, a vote or not voting or writing in a candidate really just greases the skids for the more undesirable candidate to get in. I've tried to tell this story. I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but back in 1991, in Louisiana, Edwin Edwards, who was as corrupt as any Louisiana politician, decided that he'd run again for a fourth term for governor of Louisiana. And, of course, everybody was appalled by that. He ended up going to prison, as a matter of fact. But his candidate, his opposition, Republican opposition, was David Duke. Who's still around, of course.
Yes.
He was the former Klansman then, and he's a former Klansman now, and somebody who's a white supremacist, as we all know. So Republicans in that state came up with a bumper sticker. It said, "Vote for the crook. It's important." What I'm saying is that for those people who think that Donald Trump is a looney tune and a malicious one at that, you might have to say, vote for the liar. It's important.
What an election. Where do you think things are right now? We're close enough that we can talk about the horse race some. Have you seen any polling that is showing that the email revelation, the investigation is hurting Hillary Clinton? What do you think about early voting numbers? What do you think of the whole thing, Bob?
Well, first of all, the Washington Post and ABC are now doing daily tracking polls.
Mm-hmm.
And what they are showing so far is that the latest developments, the James Comey developments, have not moved the needle at all. That is not to say that it won't, but it hasn't so far. As for the early voting, it's generally believed that that is favoring Hillary Clinton and that it may provide a real prohibitive wall against efforts by Donald Trump to win.
Hmm. Our phone number, Bob Franken is our guest, and it's All Things Political, 8 days before the election. What are your thoughts about what you're hearing over the weekend? Have you already made up your mind? Have you done early voting? What are your concerns about the election? What are your concerns about after the election? We certainly welcome your phone calls. Now is the time to talk all things political. We've been talking about this for a year and a half. Isn't it amazing? A year and a half we've been talking about all of this. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. We always like to read your comments on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. And we're on Twitter at @KDunnShow. Next caller is Aaron in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
With these electronic voting machines, I really don't trust them. They've been proven to be hackable. My candidate, the one I'm writing in, is asking us to send him a postcard, so it's a paper trail that we voted for him, Andrew DiBisaggio. He's a private lawyer from Washington State. He's written 100 presidential proposals. And he's got a one-tax proposal. He's going to replace all taxes with one single tax, which is a withdrawal tax from any federally insured bank over $500.
Mm-hmm.
That would have generated $52 trillion if it was in effect.
So why are you voting for him?
Well, he has been pre-identified by the CIA as a future president, as has all of the preceding presidents since Jimmy Carter.
Uh-huh.
The CIA has
but you got to admit, Aaron, not too many people have heard of this person.
Well, I've heard of him. He's been talking, doing speeches about the truth for 10 years. He's bringing
uh-huh.
truth, and he's going to open up secret technologies like portal teleportation developed by Tesla.
Hmm. Are you worried about electronic voting machines, Bob?
Well, I'm worried about all things technological because I think that we've opened a Pandora's box.
Right.
So is it plausible that the voting machines might be hacked in some states, if not all of them? I suppose it is plausible,
right.
Only because I don't know anything to suggest that it's not that it's implausible. The fact of the matter is, though, that this person, this caller, Aaron, is indulging his right as a voter to say, no, I'm going to cast my vote for somebody because I find the other two candidates objectionable.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you make of that? I'm sure you've heard this from a lot of people. I certainly have. So many people have said, here we are and these are our choices. We really don't like either one. So many people are just turned off by this election. They don't like the people who are at the top of the ticket. Do we have a problem in getting the best to the top, people we can really be enthused about, who have clean records, who are forthcoming, who are good people?
Well, yes, we have a problem, and the reason is because politics, for a lot of good reasons, is in disrepute. And believe me, living in Washington, I see that up close. So many of the practitioners in politics in Washington, and for that matter everywhere, are either immoral or at least amoral. And that is really depressing, and I think that the American people probably would deserve better, except for the fact that just about any of the worthwhile people say, there's no way I want to go into that swamp.
Yeah, I can see why. More phone calls in a moment. 800-486-8655 is the number, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Aaron, thanks very much for your call. We go next to, our number is 800-486-8655, Marilyn in Cleveland, Wisconsin. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Kathy. Glenn Greenwald, who is a constitutional lawyer, gave a talk saying that Democrats are the new McCarthyites. They have been associating Donald Trump's relationships and comments on Putin as something very devious, and the McCarthy area was the other way around. When any Democrats suggested we have a better, more mild policy with Russia, then they were accused by the Republicans of being com-simps. And he sees a parallel between what's going on with Trump and Putin's relationship and the McCarthyism of the 1950s. And I see an echo of that in your guest comment about calling Trump the Moscowian candidate.
Well, Trump's mentor was Roy Cohn, who ran with Joseph McCarthy the McCarthy hearings. I mean, he was his lawyer in New York. He's had a huge influence on his life. So you got to throw that.
There's that. Plus the fact that many of the policies that Donald Trump has espoused that have outraged the American foreign policy establishment have been ones that would be welcome by Putin and Russia. Such things as weakening NATO, such things as forming a closer strategic relationship with a Russia that apparently is involved in various expansion pursuits, that kind of thing. So there, the thing is with Joe McCarthy is that he just made up a lot of stuff. It was only innuendo. In this particular case, I think that there are very specific reasons to, in fact, suggest that Donald Trump has a cozy relationship with Vladimir Putin, or at least might not be the adversary that he should be.
Mm. Let's go to Beverly in Rushford. Hi, Beverly.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm on my way to cast an absentee ballot at my courthouse.
All right.
Good for you. Good
yeah.
And I'm not gonna stand by to see anything followed up in my local voting office, but I want to say I am voting for Hillary Clinton with all knowledge of many things that I disagree with, just like I would with anybody else. But the Supreme Court justice blocking by the Republican Party from President Obama in his office is unforgivable. And it has long since been forgotten how important it is to have that number represented on the Supreme Court.
They had pretty stark differences. The last debate, they did talk about who they would nominate, and the differences were dramatic.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring up the Supreme Court, which, of course, is a hugely significant issue. But now you have Republicans, John McCain and Ted Cruz, suggesting that if Hillary Clinton gets elected, they're going to do everything that they can
right.
to block her from appointing the justices that she might favor, which turns the whole constitutional process of advise and consent on its head.
Well, what's going on with these Washington politicians, Bob? They obviously have seen this enormous anger in the country that resulted in Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. Really, people embrace them enthusiastically. People have had it with that kind of business in Washington, haven't they? They want people to work together. They don't.
Well, except that their congressman or congresswoman is usually somebody who panders to the local constituent. That is the one that they like. What has happened in Washington is that it is divided into these almost armed camps, and so you can't get anything done. And that is why whoever the candidate is who gets elected, I think that he's going to find, or she's going to find, that it has become almost impossible to govern.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Beverly. Have fun voting. Do you early vote, Bob?
I do early vote. I did early vote.
Did you? I've never done that before. I have this thing about tradition, you know, going on Election Day morning, but maybe I will early vote. I don't know.
Well, you know, what's great now is you don't have to leave your seat to do it. You can do it all by computer.
You can?
Yeah, at least in the district.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that here. You got to go. You have to get an absentee ballot or go
in. You
have
to physically go get it?
Well, I think unless you're, you know, I don't know. Somebody find out for me because I've never thought about doing that. I guess you could, you know, if you're disabled or something, you could get it by a computer, I would think. I don't know. I mean,
uncharted. Get your crack research team to find that out before
we
go up there.
All right. I hope Scotty is listening because we want to find that out. We'll find out. Or somebody will call us from the League of Women Voters or something in the minutes that remain. Help us out. Send us a message. Talk at WPR.org. Chris in Stevens Point. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for the show. I just wanted to butt in because I hadn't heard anybody bring this up yet. But I've heard everybody talk to a lot of people who just dislike both candidates. I'm one included. I think that on the left, people really dismiss the allegations against Clinton, very cavalier attitude towards them. And I think they're pretty serious. You know, I mean, mishandling classified information is a jailable offense. And if I did it, I would probably be in jail or at least be charged. And she didn't get charged. And, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. And then Trump, on the other hand, is just, I think he's a fascist. And he doesn't care about the Constitution, and I do care about that. So I'm voting for Johnson, and he's on the ballot, and he's not some write-in that's only going to get one vote, you know, and I just don't understand why people have such a tight hold on their party. Oh, we need to vote for a party and make sure the other guy doesn't get in. Well, if somebody voted, or if everybody voted for who they actually liked, we might get a third party. So that's my point.
All right. Thanks, Chris. How many Chris's are there going to be, Bob?
Well, you know, I think that this is going to be a key to how the election turns out. If millions of people decide that they're too disgusted to vote for either of the major candidates, that could have a huge impact on the election. Then it would turn on which candidate had the most passionate supporters. I suspect that Donald Trump probably has the more passionate supporters, so that could, in fact, turn the election to Trump.
Mm-hmm. And when do you, as somebody who follows this really keenly, when will you have a pretty good sense of what's going on? End of the week? Over the weekend?
As somebody who in 2000 figured that by the end of the night we would know whether George Bush or Al Gore would be elected, I'm really wary of making that kind of prediction.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Let's go to Ruth in Oshkosh. Hi, Ruth.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Ruth.
There's been, you know, this repeated talking about Trump this, Hillary this. My comment is that all the talk with that, and I think more importantly, we have to look down ballot. We have to start worrying more about who we're representing in our state legislation and national legislation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Ruth, for reminding us of that. There are a lot of important races this go around, Bob.
Well, including in Wisconsin, with your Senate race. Another one is, although Paul Ryan is expected to win easily, what problems is he going to face as Speaker? Presumably, he gets reelected as Speaker when he gets to Washington. I mean, I think that the down-ballot races, as they call them, are going to be really vital to what happens in Washington after the election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and do you have any sense of where all of these down-ballot and whether or not this email thing, because the Republicans are pushing that, are going to make a difference for down-ballot races?
Well, it would seem, and I underline the seem because it's almost impossible to make predictions these days, it would seem that that sort of stops the Democrat momentum, makes it more plausible now that the Republicans will keep control of the Senate, and makes it less plausible that the Democrats could pull a spectacular upset and take over the House. So we will continue to have the divided government that has basically paralyzed Washington for the better part of a generation.
Hmm. And Scotty has just informed me that it's not available electronically in the state of Wisconsin. There is legislation to make that happen, but you can't do that.
Way to go, crack research team. I knew I could count on you.
Absolutely. Our very small but very dedicated and efficient staff. I wanted to ask you just quickly, because I know you were in Iraq twice, what you make of the move to overtake Mosul, if you think it will be successful, and how important that may be in a fight against ISIS.
the problem with ISIS is it has developed not so much into an army that maintains property and territory, but now is a terrorist organization that can attack at any point, which, of course, is something that is very easy to do and just scares the daylights out of just about everybody. I don't know if you know or not, but I was in Nice this summer.
Yes, I did know that, right.
Was very close to where the terror attack had happened there. And, of course, immediately went into reporter mode, and that was the end of that. But it's the kind of thing that you have to be very scared about now, just about anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, of course, what ISIS is planning to do, to at least, you know, make its attacks against the Western world.
Mm. Bob, a pleasure to have you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Okay, thank you, Kathleen. It's always a pleasure.
Bob Franken. Bob is now on MSNBC, and he's got Frankincense syndicated column. He was with CNN 20-plus years, worked for CBS, but started it all at a radio station in Marshfield, Wisconsin. And we thank him for being with us. Thanks to K.P. Whaley for producing the hour, and thanks to Scotty Myers and Zeb Gozman for help with production here and also for on-air production. News is up. We'll return for another hour.